Right, today we are going to be talking. We're going to be talking with ourselves. I'm going to be sharing some thoughts that have always been in my mind over the years. I titled this message, Inspire, Lest You Expire. All right, the first thing that will come to your mind when you hear something like this is the cliche. You know, when people talk like this, you feel like they are about to motivate you. You know, they're about to motivate you, aspire to retire so that you can retire. All right. Well, let me say that from the pulpit, motivation is not something that we will not see. You understand? Though the word of God does not only motivate us. You know, the word of a prophet will exalt you. A prophet speaks for exhortation, edification, and comfort. In all these three, you will find motivation somehow. But because it is the word of God, it is more than motivation. It will inspire you. It will push you to the next level. It is spiritual. It has embedded in itself ability to work things out. All right. So today we're going to be talking about inspire, lest you expire. Actually, I'm talking to you that you should inspire so that you don't expire. All right. Let me look at the definition of these words. Permit me to check or to explain to you some definitions from Oxford before I explain to you from the scripture. This is what Oxford says about inspire. Inspire, according to Oxford Dictionary, says, fill someone with the urge or ability to do something or to feel something. Okay? Especially to do something creative. Okay, what I want to talk about today is not this first definition, though it is close to it. The second one is, the second definition that Oxford gives is, breathe in air. Okay, that's close to it. Breathe in air or inhale. Now, expire, we know about expire now. We thank God for NAFTA. With the effort of Dora Akuyuli, all of us, we understand what expire means. Okay. Now, this is what Oxford has to say about expire. Instead of a document, authorization, or agreement, when it comes to an end, or the end of a period, or the validity of a document, right? The second definition it gives says for a person to die. Now, that's close to it. Now, when I say inspire, I say breathe in here, lest you die. You agree with me that every time you breathe in, you are forced to breathe out. And when you breathe out, the next thing you do again is what? Is to breathe in. If you do not inspire, you expire. Okay, the other definition, expire, according to Oxford Dictionary, is to breathe out, like I've said. So, again, you must inspire, lest you expire. Let's go to our text, but before then, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you because you are here to teach us. You are here to instruct us. You are here to push us to the next level that you want us to be. Thank you, Father, because your word is life. Thank you because Holy Spirit, the author of this word, is here to explain things to us. We open our hearts unto you, Lord, that you teach and instruct us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Okay, let's look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Okay, from verse 4. There's no 2 in this. Okay, there's 2. All right. From verse 4, this is the history. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth. And every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Verse 8 now. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom formed. Verse 9, where we'll stop. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thank you very much. Okay, let me start by, before this passage, God had created man. But he had not formed man. You know, when God created man, he created man, male and female. Now, in chapter 2, God formed man from the dust. I want to tell you today that the formation of man, when God formed man from the dust of the from the dust, that wasn't what God meant when he said, let us create man in our own image and in our own likeness. I remember last week when I came back home, I saw my daughter formed with clay, some items on the floor. You know, I just drove on it because there was nothing inside of it. There was no life. But when I saw my dog approaching me, I slowed down so that I will allow that dog, you know, to live. Now, after God has formed man from the dust of the ground, what he now meant when he said, let us create man in our own image, was what he did when he breathed the life of himself inside man. And that was only when man became a living soul. The dust is rubbish, it's nothing. All of us, as we are sitting here, we all know that man is tripartite. You have a body, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in this cage. The same way you cannot play in outer space without having space suit. That is the same way we have this suit that we call the earthly body for us to remain on earth, or else we'll fly away. We are spirit, we have soul, and we live inside the body. Now, the activation of that soul is what God did when he breathed the breath of life inside man. That was God giving a part of himself to man. And that is, it was after that God now told man that dominate, multiply, replenish. God will not ask you to do what he has not empowered you to do, because he has given you a part, a deposit of himself. You can tell who God is. See what he has created. He has given you a deposit, a part of himself that can make you to do the same thing. And that was the exact thing he meant when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Let them dominate. Let them have dominion over everything. Now, when God breathed into man, that signifies the beginning of life. And I want to tell you that the beginning of a thing, or the source of a thing, is the sustenance. The source of a thing is the sustenance. God has given that life. He is the source. He is the sustenance. The title of our message again is Inspire. Let's be inspired. What I'm saying, if you don't have that life of God on your inside, you're inspired. You know, someone will say, oh, what do you mean? We have many people who are not Christians, and they are living. The same thing the devil told Eve. The devil told her, said, thing. Eve said, no. God said, if we eat it, we'll die. The devil said, he will not die. Eve said, are you sure? He said, eat it. And she ate it, and she did not die. But we know that Eve died that day. Now, if I say inspire lest you expire, you know, in your mind you should know that what I'm talking about The expression I'm talking about is spiritual. And there is no difference, really. There is no difference. There is a very fine difference that we may not even be able to identify between what is happening in the spirit and what is physical. Because everything that you see, that you can touch, were created from substances that you cannot see, that are spiritual. All right? So, again, let me quickly, because of time, let me share some thoughts, like we were taught. All right? So, these are my thoughts. The thinking or the musings in my head while I was thinking that I would share this. By the way, God has spoken this thing to my heart many years ago, but it was just in my head. So I had to put it down so that I can find a way for us to share it. Okay, my first thought is that every man has a deposit of God inside him. Every man. The initial breath of God in Adam was the activation of the God mode. Now, anybody can attain God mode if you can inspire. We're created as God. Same breath in God was given to men. However, upon the fall of man, man died. The essence of God in man died. Though man continued to draw breath, but it was the feet of the substance of God. When Adam died, I mean, the spiritual death, Bible records that he started giving birth according to his own likeness. He started multiplying that death. Reason why every man is in a state of death until you come to Christ. I want to believe everybody here is saved. And if you're not saved, there'll be an opportunity to give your life to Christ because you must inspire or else you expire. Now, second thought. When God wanted to make man in his image, he gave him a part of him. Now, every time man is filled with the breath of God, he activates God more. Every time you inspire, every time you draw the breath of God, you activate God mode. When I say God mode, you may not... Let me assume that you understand. God mode, if you are a creative, God mode is that mode you are that you are able to condense from the atmosphere, from the spirit realm. You are able to transport information from there. And it becomes music. And it becomes a piece of art that people have not seen, that ears have not heard, that has not come into the heart of man. So if you really want to be relevant, if you don't want to expire. Now, another thing about exploration is that many times as creatives, you know, we bring out things that tojoti lolorie. You know, just come around and you are copying what has, I mean, we have to live in the future as creatives. You must be able to tap into what is happening there. What is the next thing that God wants to do on earth? What is that sound? What is that writing? What is the art? If you are not doing that, whatever you are bringing, you are regurgitating something that is expired. But if you want to be relevant, you must inspire so that you will not expire. You understand? All right? So, as a businessman, you are going for this meeting, you want to seal this deal, or you are thinking about the next thing in your business. And if you are not inspired, if you are not in God mode, the creative mode, I'm looking for the right words to use. If you don't have the juice of God inside of you, you will get there. And people you are sitting down with, you will know that the next person sitting to you has taken care of that business 3 days ago, 1 week ago, in the spirit realm. You just come and they give you carcass. They give you, you feel like, I'm winning. You are not. You must be inspired. You must activate your God mode every time. All right? The source of everything is the sustenance thereof. I said that earlier. You know, Jesus said, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Okay? This is how I interpret that verse. Without me, without Jesus, I can do some things. In fact, I can do a lot of things. I can build a house. I can marry. I can make money. I can, whatever, what is it again? I can become the president. But everything like that, meaning the summation of everything I've done without Christ, is called nothing. Now imagine, pastor traveled and he said, Nii, every morning you come here, you mop this floor. Mop this floor. So, for the next 1 week. So I come in one day, I say, pastor said I should mop this floor. But I don't like this tile. Let's remove this tile. Let's put Italian tiles. We'll import it. So I remove everything. I import tile. I put it. I said, okay, after this tiling, let's do, you know, whatever. And I enhanced it. I made it very beautiful. When pastor comes, the first thing he will do is to notice that something has changed here. I gave you instruction to mop the floor. Do you mop the floor? You know, an average Nigerian, we answer question with question, say, she like eleyi. Did you mop that floor? I was talking with my friend, a lawyer, my business partner, and we're talking about Marxist Christianity, talking about how our calling is not separate from our secular activities, you know. So while we're talking, he made some instances, and I told him, I said, because we can be very, very comical when we talk, he's a very free friend of mine. I said, imagine we get to heaven now, and Jesus asks you, Fola, so Alpha, and you say, Baba, I made a lot of money. Baba, I had 16 children. And Jesus will be like, you've not answered this question. I'm asking you, how far? What did you do? And everything that such a person may have to say is that I became the MD of Heritage Bank. I became this thing. I became, but what about the assignment? Now, I said something, that your assignment, your secular activities, is not totally different from what God has called you to be. There is a way God expects you to serve him in every breath that you take. All right? So that is more reason why you must realize that the sustenance of whoever you are, whatever you be, is God. Okay. Thought in my head on this topic is that God expects us to manifest his authority in every areas of our lives. And it takes the breath of God inside us, a deposit of him to achieve this. Now, let me quickly say that at every point in our, at a certain point or the other in our lives, we will fail. At every point in our life, physically, you know, spiritually, that is the reason why we must constantly depend on God. Let me give you an instance. You know the story of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins. 5 were smart, wise. 5 were not. But do you know one thing that happened to all of them? Before the bridegroom came, do you know what happened? All of them slept. All of them. All the 10 of them. It wasn't only the foolish 5 that slept. The wise, they slept. But the difference is that those wise people, they have a deposit. So when it was time for them to rise, they rose again. The Bible says that a righteous man will fall 7 times. And that 7 times, he will rise up again. Now picture this. You have two footballs. We used to call it felele. You have 2 balls. One is inflated. One is not. Every time you throw down the one that is not inflated, what happens to it? It stays there. Because the one that is not inflated has not inhaled inside it. What happens to every time to the other one that is inflated? Every time you throw it on the floor, it bounces back. Most likely, it bounces higher than where it started from. You know, so, and that is exactly what inspiration of the Almighty does to you. It gives you ability as a Christian to bounce back from anything, at any time. Oh, I'm 70 years old. I can't start all over again. I'm 80 years old. I can't do it again. It's a lie. If you have the inspiration of the Almighty, the inspiration of God, you can do anything. You can bounce back from anything. Okay. Another instance, there is a scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40, 30. He say, okay, let's see, Isaiah 40, 30. It's a common scripture. We quote it a lot. But sometimes when people quote it, they add an appendage to it. So I want us to look at it together. Now, Isaiah 40, 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. Next. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Many times when people quote this place, they say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But this is what the scripture says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will do it. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and shall not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Next. They will lift up their wings like eagles. Will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Okay, all right. Okay. I think that is the end of that chapter. Now, this place says that it is your duty to renew your strength. Now, renewal of strength comes when you are inspired by God. All right. Now, let's talk about what it means to inspire. I've been saying inspire. But I want us to look at what it means to inspire. Okay, we're going to see that in Romans chapter 8, from verse 5 to 9. Romans chapter 8, from verse 5 to 9. For those who are living according to flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh, which gratifies the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now, the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh, which is sinful pursuit, is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sin, appetite, and impulses, cannot please God. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it does not belong to him, and is not a child of God. All right, remember I said earlier, the source of a thing is a sustenance. The scripture here says that if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not part of Him. Another thought in my head is that in the Old Testament, I mean, this is a fact, in the Old Testament, occasionally the Spirit of God comes to just rest on men. And when the Spirit of God rests on men, they perform excellently. They do excellent things. They perform supernaturally. I mean, you can imagine Elijah running faster than Ferrari. You can imagine a man saying that he's shutting heaven and there was no rain. And at will, you could switch it back. Like pressing the switch. Let there be rain. And rain started. There are a lot of things that people in the Old Testament did before the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. Now, after the death of Christ, the Holy Spirit did not just come around, you know, to perch and go back. He has come to reside on our inside. And that was why I said the first thing to do, if you are going to be inspired, is to be a Christian. Accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior so that the Holy Spirit can reside on your spirit. You know, when we give our life to Christ, what happens is that we are a new creature. We have a new spirit. We have, and that new spirit that is given to us is a house for Holy Spirit that Holy Spirit can sit in. Now, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit will come and just rest on them, and when it's done, it flies. But right now, Holy Spirit dwells on our inside. It's called the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, what we do is to cultivate the Holy Spirit. What we do is to cultivate His presence that is on our inside. All right? What it means to inspire is that to be inspired starts with acknowledging the supernatural residence on your inside. Now, from this scripture, you found out that the Holy Spirit is on our inside. As a Christian, Holy Spirit dwells on your spirit. All right? There are three types of men walking around. There are three types of men. We have a natural man. A natural man is not saved. He doesn't know anything about Christ. He doesn't want to bother himself. Now, we have a spiritual man. A spiritual man is saved. As we are seated here, we are spiritual men. Now, the third category of men, we have carnal men. Now, if I'm talking to a natural man, I'll be asking him, if I'm talking to him right now, I am telling a natural man to give his life to Christ. That is the first inspiration. Now, if I'm talking to a carnal man is a spiritual man or a man that has given his life to Christ, but is living like a natural man. He complains about what they complain about. He lives where they live. He says things they say. You know, he behaves the way they behave. You have the deposit of God on your inside, but it is latent. It is not working. He's there because you are doing what the world or a natural man is doing. That makes you a carnal man. Now, if I'm talking to a carnal man here, what I'll be telling a carnal man is that inspire, take in the breath of God, rekindle the spirit on your inside. You know, there are a lot of things that are deposited inside of you, but they are latent. Like Paul told Timothy, he said they are gifts that you have received by laying on of hands. You know, he said, inspire them. Put them together. Let them find expression. You're welcome, sir. Let them find an expression on your inside. And that is my message. That is the definition of inspire, lest you expire to a carnal man. You have a deposit, but it is latent. You have to activate it. Okay, again, number two, what does it mean to inspire? It means to cultivate the presence of God around us and yield more insight. Now, the presence of God is inside of us. But outside of us, we also need to cultivate it. Now, how do we cultivate the presence of God? We cultivate the presence of God by listening for instruction. We cultivate the presence of God through meditation. We cultivate the presence of God when we pray in the Holy Ghost. It's our most holy faith. The Bible says that we should build up ourselves in our most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Build it up. You see, the charge of God, the breath of God inside us is like, I want to compare it to having a phone. You know, when you use it many times, you know, the battery goes down and you have to charge it. Remember what I said, the source of a thing is the sustenance thereof. The source of power, where that breath of life came from, you have to constantly plug there so that you can recharge yourself. That is how to cultivate the presence of God on your inside. Meditation. See, meditation is, I remember when we were growing up, One of the things that my dad ensured that we had was time for meditation. He will ask you. Then we didn't know the meaning of meditation, but he will ask us. Okay, what we will do is we will write a scripture inside a sheet of paper and give to us. So go and read it. After reading it, you are not expected to throw that piece away. When you read it, he will ask you, what did you read? So we tell him. So he said, keep it in your pocket. After some time, he'll call you. So what did you read? I'll be like, you asked me before now. I'll tell you. He said, quote it. I'll quote it. He said, keep it in your pocket. After, like, if in a day, he may ask us like 4 or 5 times. So you will tell him again. Before you know what, he didn't ask us to cram. But gradually, we started knowing these things by heart. And when time came for us to bring out this information that would help our lives, it was easy for them to just come out. Now, the way God leads us is through, the primary way that God wants to lead his children is through the inward witness. Any other one is secondary. Now, that witness, you may not identify that witness if you don't have enough deposits of word of God that you have meditated on your inside. You may not be able to identify it. It's like lock and key. If it is inside of you, when the voice of God calls to you, it will key. That scripture will come up in your mind. It will go to your head, and you will understand exactly what God is saying to you. And that is how to cultivate, the presence of God. Now, what does it mean to inspire? To inspire, again, is to blindly trust God, giving him absolute loyalty. That is the way. Peter saw Jesus, or Peter saw a figure walking on water. And he liked it. No, he asked. He said, he was scared. He said, who is this? And we knew. Jesus said, no, it is I. He said, really, if it is you, bid me to come. Jesus said, we are free. Come. And on the strength of that word, Peter set out and he was walking on water. That is trusting God completely, blindly. Now, if Holy Spirit inspires you or asks you to do something and you do not trust him well enough to take action, to take steps, you may not be able to access such instruction anytime soon again. You must trust the Holy Spirit that what he's saying is true. And you must trust him enough to act upon it. When he asks you to come, you have to come. Because as you do that more often, you are cultivating that relationship. You are cultivating that trust. And that is another way to inspire. All right. So how do you inspire? As Christians, some things are very critical to us. One of those things, or two of those things, are our mind and our mouth. Now, at the point where you give your life to Christ, you have to believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Now, this is how this is how you inspire. This is how you breathe in the presence of God. This is how you activate the deposit of God on your inside with your mouth and your heart. First of all, that is the point of entry. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I believe the scripture is true. I believe Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose. That is the point of entry. That is how we are reset back to what God did, the initial breath of life that he gave to men. You confess with your mouth, believing in your heart. If there is one saying that is very popular in my house, that my wife will say anytime maybe I'm about to make a comment, she would say, I normally say that, say what you mean and mean what you say. So anytime we're having a discussion and I'm like, she will say, say what you mean and mean what you say. Because she understands that I need you to mean it. I need you to say it if you mean it. And if you say it, I need you to mean it. Now, the same way, when you are with God, you mean what you say, and you say what you mean. One of the reasons why in Stone Church, our songs are carefully chosen. Because when you are saying it, you mean it. If you do not mean it, you don't have to say it. Many times I see people in worship and they are saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And my heart will follow only after. They are saying it, but in their eyes they don't mean it. Now, in the presence of God, especially in worship or whatever you are doing, if you do not mean it, keep your mouth shut. If the words of the song says that, I will follow you for the rest of my life. If you do not want to follow him, don't say it. Because that is how to inspire. That is the inspiration. Now, if you are saying what you do not mean to God, I mean, God is not, it's not a joker. He doesn't come around for us to just, it comes around because it means business. So when you say it, mean it. All right? So with your mouth and with your heart. Now, what happens with our mouth? We pray in tongues. You pray in tongues, your positive confession. Another instance, I mentioned earlier, when you give your life to Christ, you know, Bible says that says you confess with your mouth, you believe with your heart. Now, that is the point of entry, like I said. Now, another thing, when Jesus, with the disciple, they were walking and they saw that fig tree, and Jesus cursed the tree, and the tree withered. And the disciples were wondering, how did you do it? Jesus told them how he did it. He believed it, and he said it. It is the function of the heart and the mouth. What is going on your inside and what you are saying. Now, as Christians, in the spirit realm, what you eat is not what defines you. What comes out of your mouth is what defines you. The same way the scripture admonishes us to be careful with our mouth. Be careful with what you say. Be careful with what you say. When people were talking, when we were asking Paul, about this food, they said we should eat this food. We shouldn't eat this food. He said, concerning things that are offered to idols. He said, we know that there is nothing like idols. He said, though, for the sake of my brother, I may not eat. But his emphasis was more on what proceeds out of your mouth. It defines you. You see, the direction of your life is the direction of your mouth. If they can hook your mouth and drag you like this, that's the direction of your life. If you are speaking this way, it is the direction of your life. If you are speaking this way, it's the direction of your life. The same way, whatever you are saying to God is very important. Whatever you are saying concerning yourself is very important. We should know as Christians that power is voice activated. Whatever you have inside, you have in your heart, you have to activate it, you have to voice it out. You have to give it vocal. Remember, the breath of God that God gave us is to activate the God mode, the way God does his things. He calls things forth. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. It wasn't the clay. It was the breath, that deposit that God gave us. You know? All right, so I'm talking about our mouth and our heart. Now, when you come to the presence of God, this is how to inspire. When you come to the presence of God, where people of God are gathered, you must come with reverence. Many times, I see people, playing away. Maybe because I've seen a lot happening in the presence of God, that I am afraid. He's afraid of the word now. Well, irreverence. I've been in many meetings. There's a particular meeting. I was just maybe like 7 or 8 years old. No, more than that. I was about 13. I was about 13 years old. And I was on the drums. There's a type of drum we call agbamole. I was on agbamole. I was supposed to have video. And we're having that video. So they brought in a dead girl. Now, the girl died in the hospital, And they told the mother to bring the child to the father so that they can bury that child. The name of that child is Bose. The father's house is in Akinbile, in Monia. I can give you the direction to that house. Now, they brought that girl, the girl dead, Otingon. So, in their house, I think they used to, if they want to bring a dead child, something like that, they back that child upside down, something like that. So they brought the child, but when the woman and some other people that came with her got to the house, the father was a policeman then, he was on night duty. So they were scared, they didn't want to sleep in the same house with a dead baby. The girl was about 4 or 5 then. So they said, there's a man around there, he does vigil. So at least you'll be awake. If anything wants to happen, you will see. They were scared that maybe they would. I don't know why people get scared around dead people, you know. So they all came into. It was our sitting room then. They all came in and we were doing the vigil. We're just the normal CSC style. Oluwa Oshe, oh Jayo Boruko Orelenu Mi. Oluwa Oshe, oh Jayo Somi Idi Dakuda. Oluwa Oshe, oh Jayo Balafi Ami. While we were there, that girl came back to life. Now, saying that, I was afraid. An instance happened when we were in school. A friend of ours got inflicted by kidney disease. She was taken to the hospital and we gathered together in one house. We started praying around maybe 6 p.m. So when it got about 2 a.m., one of us stood up and said, let's agree. We cannot be praying. Our efforts cannot be scattered. Let us agree. What do we want for this girl? Do we want that kidney be healed? Should we pray that she should start recovering, or would you ask for a fresh kidney? At that point, everybody agreed and said, we want fresh. And the name of that lady, her dad is a prominent person in Ibadan. So we agreed and we started praying. After praying for, you know, we started praying around 6, 2 a.m. So after like another 15 minutes, another friend stood up and said, it is done. And with faith in all our hearts, we agreed, it is done. And we said, we will go to the hospital. We will ask them to check if new kidney has been formed there. I said, okay, let the cousin, because the cousin is our close friend that was there too. I said, Jackie Lighton, let Lighton go and check. And they got there. They said, no, she's on catheter. They said, Eyo, remove it. We believe we have received receipt. And to the glory of God, the lady, she got a new kidney. Now, if when we come together, things like that happen, I think we should respect God. We should revere God. We should know that anytime we are together, anytime we give God time, that by 8 o'clock we are coming into this place and we will leave here by 12. By that time is special. God is here. The fact that you are not able to tune in and get the instruction or get something done in your body or God is still working on you gradually does not mean that inside this place we don't have enough power of God. Enough power of God to perform creative miracles, to shift the mindset of people, to heal the sick, to do whatever we wanted to do. Therefore, when we are together, when we are here, don't play around. Revere God. Revere God. Honor God. If I can say, be afraid. You know? And that is how to cultivate the presence of God. Let me round off. So, what happens when you are inspired? Okay. What happens to you when you are inspired? First of all, like I said, when you are inspired, you do not expire. I've talked about creative people. I've talked about business people. I've talked about your health now. Now, when you inspire, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16. You see, the Spirit of God inside of us helps us No, I said, when you are inspired, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God inside of us helps us to know the mind of God. You can be sure that you have direction at every point in time. You can be sure that whatever you are doing is true when you are inspired and you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because His Holy Spirit will give you direction. It will lead you to all truth. All right. I mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 9 to 16. I'm not able to read that now. But John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, when he has said this, talking about Jesus now, he breathed on them and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. All right. So the next thing that happens when you are inspired is that you receive wisdom. You know, the scripture says that there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. You see, there are hard things about life that are hard to understand. But because their source is God, they are not hard for you. You see, sometimes you just see a child that is ranting, that is nagging. You feel like a belong pa. Because there are some other things. Because if you are a spiritual man, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, if you are inspired, you will know this is the solution to this. This is how to handle this. You understand? You have the wisdom. You have inspiration of the Almighty that gives, you know, wisdom. Then the next thing is health and healing. There's a scripture I love so much. You know, when I was in school, I didn't have money for medical, so I had to depend on the scriptures, right? So there's a particular scripture I love so much. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. Okay, Romans 8, 11 says that, it says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I like it. All right. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. You see this scripture? This was my paracetamol. This was my Ampiclox, chloroquine every time. I just apply it. If the spirit of him that raised Christ, I just check myself. Show one be. If the spirit is there, he says, this same spirit that dwells in you, it will jolt you. Like, you see, sometimes when the car is not working because the battery is, you know, you see, if the spirit of him that raised Christ from dead is inside, it will jolt you back to life. And the last thing, and this goes back to the category of people that I said, natural men. The point of entry again is giving your life to Christ. Now, when the time comes, now when you have given your life to Christ, a time will come, like I said, that all the virgins, the 10 of them, all of them slept. All of them slept. A time will come that we all will sleep like them. But only people who are inspired, who have that life, who have the breath of God inside of them, will rise again. And that same scripture, we can apply it, that on that day, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside your body, on that day, it will raise you back to life and you will reign with Christ. Remember the analogy I made, that when you have two balls, one is inflated, one is not. One has life, one does not. One, once it drops to the floor, it stays there. But the other one, once it drops to the floor, it bounces back. If you, they are, the one that has life, that has air in it, if you put it inside water, it will bounce back. And that's the reason why everyone here must have it. Everyone here must be inspired, lest you expire. You have to be inspired, lest you expire. I want you to take some time to talk to God concerning what we have heard. I want you to take time to say to God what you mean from your heart, that you will consciously cultivate his presence. You will consciously breathe his inspiration. You will consciously Run after his inspiration. Can we take time? Can we bow down our head and take time to talk to God? You know within your heart where you are lagging. You know where you have taken the presence of God for granted. You know the places where you have gone amiss. Take your time now and talk to God and retrace your step, giving yourself an opportunity to connect again and to inspire.